Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 429, Imposters.
Hi friends, welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And would you say the show's starting to take a turn a little bit, my friend?
I don't want to say that it's gotten bad, but this is a real nosedive from last week, which was an incredibly good episode.
Well, we're five deep, right? This is number 5 of 10, and 4 in a row, we were like, this is pretty good. They've turned it around from season two, and we're not back to season two depths by far, but I'm a little discouraged now.
It just feels like we're getting into some real stupid stuff. Stuff and some stuff we've done before.
Not stupid in a way, like, I've come to appreciate good stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Vatic, good stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Spinning around in her chair, smoking, like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, more of this idiot. I would spend tons of time with Vatic.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
But it feels like Jack Crusher's starting to turn into who we thought Jack Crusher was when we started this show.
Well, we'll get into that when we talk about My Beth. But yeah, it's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very good. But I suppose we should get into it. Why don't you tell us what happens in Imposters?
All right, so after the unpleasantness of the last few episodes, the Titan finally makes its way home. And the only reason Captain Shaw isn't dancing in the hallways and clicking up his heels is because he recently had his leg disassembled. Picard, Bill, and Seven are getting their story straight while Bever performs an autopsy on the dead crashed LaForge, and Jack Crusher stalks about the ship having weird hallucination and fantasizing about killing the crew. Well, nothing worrying there.
Mm-mm.
The USS Intrepid arrives to take Team TNG into custody, and it's headed by Captain Ro Laren, actually a commander, I realize. Last seen 40 years ago, skipping out on the Enterprise so that she could shovel barrel fire with the stupid, stupid Maquis. Apparently she's back in Starfleet and here to interrogate the shit out of Picard. That's fine, because Picard spent 40 years being pissed off at her, and he's ready for another dramatic conversation. Bever discovers that this new batch of changelings replicate people down to the organs, and that's a real problem. I think it's a real problem because we've already done this on a frankly much better TV series, but whatever. Ro and Picard argue for a bit before realizing that they're both who they say they are, and Ro tells Picard that she's been investigating the changeling invasion. She sends most of the crew of the Titan back to the Intrepid, leaving the ship with a skeleton crew, and then goes back to the Intrepid to stall. On the shuttlecraft back, Ro's buddies ditch her, leaving her with a bomb to disarm. She has just enough time to send a message to Shaw confirming that Picard isn't lying. God damn it, Shaw thinks. I almost had these idiots off my ship. And then she explodes and the Titan flees.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in the boring plot, Raffi and Worf fight an evil Vulcan, and then it turns out that Ro was Worf's contact in Starfleet Intelligence, finally bringing these two plots together, which hopefully means that this story will get more interesting, not that Picard and Riker's will get much, much less.
Well,
mm-hmm.
that's not the feeling I'm getting, but you might be right. I don't know.
I hope I'm right.
I mentioned to you that I was aware of a few things here and there, just through social media, not because I've seen anything or sought out spoilers. Ro's appearance was the last thing I'm aware of, so now this is all completely uncharted territory for me, too.
Mm.
I knew she was coming up somewhere, but that was
it. Absolutely, like, we've talked about this before. I was basically like, oh, yeah, everyone who is a main character on this show should come back for this. I completely forgot Ro even existed.
I mean, she was never in the main credits, but she was at least as much a main character as Guinan. Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
I had to go back and, like, check on her last appearance and, like, yeah, this lines up.
Oh, you didn't remember that? Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
Because she, well, that's true. For some reason, you and I have been, like both the same, just losing our memories like crazy the last few years. But the one thing, as we came back to Pa, I realized is, oh, I still remember every single thing about Star Trek and most things about this podcast.
Yeah, no, if you asked me, I would be like, I don't know. I think she probably just disappeared like every other main character that wasn't a main character on TNG.
No, they did an episode where she was promoted to lieutenant. Mm-hmm. I don't think the promotion was in the episode, but I mean, she was a lieutenant the last time we saw her. Like, yeah. She was an ensign, and then she was a lieutenant. And she and Picard went on a mission, and she's like, shit, actually, the Maquis are great. I'm leaving. And he's like, yeah. But you betrayed me. You broke my heart. And somehow they followed up on that 30 years later.
Yeah.
And it worked. And this is kind of your good thing.
It is. This is, hang on while I scroll back up.
Mm-hmm.
You broke my heart, Ro.
Mm-hmm. Let's go out on a rowboat. Get it? A rowboat?
See?
Uh-huh.
I did it for you. Mm-hmm. It was really cool bringing Ro back for this episode. I love that Picard has clearly been carrying this anger for so, so long. Like, the entire scene with her in the bar, again, the best scenes in the show are just apparently Picard talking to people he used to know in bars, is just, once again, fantastic.
Yeah.
I love everything. Like, him being like, I wanted to make you better. I wanted you were in Starfleet, the thing I respect the most. And she was like, Starfleet didn't work for me. Stop telling people to be in Starfleet. It doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah,
you just had this conversation.
And Seven standing in the doorway like, yes, please. I didn't get through to him. Please tell him.
Cut to 3 seconds ago when he's talking to Jack and just like, you know, have you considered Starfleet, though?
You know, Father, I've got a support group going with Jake Sisko and some others, just dads who want to push you into Starfleet, and we're all like, no, absolutely not.
Oh, is Jake Sisko thinking about joining Starfleet? I should write him a letter.
He's been composing one for the last 6 years, but he hasn't gotten to it yet.
So. Dear Jake, I know I killed your mother, but
wait,
hear me out.
How are you? I am fine. No, seeing Ro was great, and her whole deal is, I did leave Starfleet, then I came back, and I got punished, and then Starfleet Intelligence grabbed me up, and I was like, okay, I mean, I guess it's not Section 31, this is the legit branch of intelligence, so that's better, I guess.
I was thinking about this. She seems like exactly the kind of person like Worf would reach out to if he found out, like, if he's doing Starfleet intelligence stuff. He's like, well, we should get Ro. She went away and came back. And also, she's kind of the inspiration for Kira, who I know pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea because I know the U.S. government did this, and I'm sure other major governments did too. Like, when terrorists or, you know, anti-government people or whatever are captured, but they're still useful. They're just sort of rehabilitated and put back into service. And like,
yeah,
she was a Maquis, but also now she can work for us.
Yeah. And she was in I don't want to mess up her background with Kira's, but she was also in the Resistance.
Was she?
I think so.
That you might be right. I don't remember that. I'm not questioning it. I just don't remember it.
I feel like she was. I could be wrong. Again, I don't remember anything that's ever happened to me.
Fair enough. What about to these made-up people?
I thought I did, but I think it's all been overrun by X-Men facts.
Yeah, fair enough.
To the point where I'm like, who's this show about? Professor X?
I mean, basically, same guy. I don't, it's weird how, and we'll talk about this when we get to your bad thing.
Yeah.
But the amount of DS9 stuff that they're using, but also they kind of ignore.
Like, yeah. Well,
hang on. Because.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He says she joined the Maquis, and then he said, but we're not enemies with the Maquis anymore. What you mean is that the changelings, the Dominion, completely killed every Maquis they could find.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the same as we're not enemies with them anymore. They were genocided, buddy.
That's like, I'm not enemies with people who have died 30 years ago.
Yes, but I mean, you know, there's a word for wiping out every single type, you know, every single one of a type of person, and it's called genocide. And No, we're friends now. No.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Well, no one's around to tell me different, so.
Oof. Read the room, man. But yeah, they are retreading a lot of DS9, which is, go on.
I mean, like, guys, you can't just do the Dominion War again. Like, you can't. You've already had the Changelings do this, and it was one of the best stories in Trek ever. And you've had the top of Starfleet infiltrated multiple times.
Yep.
Like, I'm really enjoying the season so far, this episode notwithstanding, but you have got to have a better antagonist than just like, oh yeah, I remember the Changelings from Deep Space Nine? Well, fucking, they're back and they're worse than ever.
They don't expect you to remember them because as far as they're concerned, nobody watched that show.
Yeah.
But they're giving you the information they need. The thing is,
I mean, that's certainly the vibe I keep getting.
I feel the same way about this as I feel about Section 31, which is that was a very carefully balanced idea used on that show. And everyone just sort of said, OK, let's just keep using it without all the stuff that they did to make it work.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Dominion War is there were so many facets to it. Yes, there were changelings and there was the whole paranoia thing, but there were also the Jem'Hadar. There were also the Vorta. There were like big space battles. Like it wasn't just a look-alike infiltration thing. There were a lot of different things happening, you know? And here they're just doing that part of it.
Yeah. And again, we talked about this last week, like conspiracy happened, you know?
That would have been the best way to tie it back to Next Gen, a specific long discuss. Like we're certainly not the only ones who have said, what the fuck ever happened with that? Like, well, and everyone who talks about Star Trek wonders what happened with that.
Yeah, because it's a weirdly memorable episode. That's the episode where Starfleet generals eat worms and then explode violently.
Yeah, and the final beat of that is looking up to space, like with a menacing tracking shot and saying, they're going to be coming. And then they never did.
Nope.
It's been 35, 40 years, something like that. And like, we've had five or six series since then and nothing.
Yeah. Nothing has ever happened.
No, it's weird.
Yeah. And but, like, guys, this could slot in so perfectly that I would believe that that was the first draft. And then they were like, nah, use the Dominion. More people know what that is.
I don't think that's why they went with the Dominion, though. What I think is, these writers already came up with a cool thing. Let's use that.
Let's do that.
Section 31. But again, if you remove all the context and all the connected stuff, it's not as good.
What this mostly makes me want to do is just watch more Deep Space Nine. It's been a while.
Yeah. I will say, and, you know, again, we don't want spoilers, so please don't tell us.
Yeah.
But I think we're only five deep into this. We're at the halfway point. There's definitely at least one more layer to this. It's not just changelings. That's good. There's more shit going on. Like, I don't know this, but I know this because I know how streaming serialized stories are told. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the full picture at episode five. You just don't.
Yeah. What are we? Are we exactly halfway?
Yes. Yes. We're at 5 of 10. So there's surely, like, we don't know what Vadic's deal is yet. So there's probably more details here.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe this is it, but I doubt it.
That would make me feel a little better, but still, like, you know, right now it just feels like, remember the Dominion?
Well, actually, first of all,
please don't remember the Dominion because now it's our idea.
The thing that bugs me about that is, and okay, I think about this a lot because this is a major element of Endeavor, the show that we write, which is, it just occurred to me that 30 years after the Dominion War, it would still loom large. It would still be.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way Deep Space Nine told it to us was this was the biggest war that, like, the Federation and the Romulans and the Klingons and the Cardassians have ever been involved with. It was like a huge deal. And so when I write about it in our little fanfic show, I write it as this is the World War II of that world.
This was a huge deal. That affected a lot of people.
Yeah. Everyone who lived through it still talks about it. And even the generation after that talks about it because it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
And they just treat it like, oh, remember the Dominion War? Vaguely. What's a changeling? Could you remind me and the audience? Yeah. And it's like, it's weird that like everyone remembers Wolf 359, but hardly anyone remembers this war that killed billions of people.
Yeah.
Wolf 359 involved 30 military ships, which look, that sucked. That's a lot of people, but there weren't any civilians.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of civilians died in the Dominion War, and everyone's like, the what? The Dominion?
The who?
Yeah.
Which one were those guys again?
And then you have Shaw. I think it was Shaw. Yeah, it was Shaw giving Picard and Riker shit because he's good at that.
Yep.
About all the stuff that they've done and been through. They're like, well, we've rescued the galaxy a few times. He's like, yeah, you also did this and you did that. And there were some good callbacks there.
Yep.
But one of the things he mentioned is the time anomaly in the Devron system, which is from All Good Things. And
that's right.
We had a hard time wrapping our heads around exactly what was happening there. But I'm certain at the end of that, none of that ever has happened.
Yeah.
So how does he know? I don't get that one.
Mm-hmm. I do like him being all like, and remember Insurrection? I'm mm-hmm. the only one who does.
Mm-hmm. Actually, very good movie. You directed it. I'm mm-hmm. going to give you a little credit here. You did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Surprisingly good. Bad rap for that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just small is all. It was all right.
You know, I like it because it felt like it was a part of the series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
he didn't try to go big or anything.
Mm-hmm. Could have done without Data talking about his face being like a butt, but wait. I don't remember the exact thing, but yeah, something about a butt.
He has to, Riker shaves and he
rubs his face.
Oh,
that's what it was. Smooths an android's butt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Super.
And Data's like, nah, my butt's smoother than this.
Mm-hmm. And then he pulled it out and twerked for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the changeling thing, just, we did this already.
Yeah, we did this and you're going to have to work real hard to make it better than that. And I don't think you've got it in you, honestly, not in 5 episodes.
No. Let's see. Okay, my good thing. Worf and Raffi are dealing with this very strange Vulcan criminal.
Yep. Boy, is he a strange Vulcan criminal.
Who has decided, and I'm sure this is not just the way the guy sounds. This is clearly an affected performance.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like Jim from Taxi.
It didn't occur to me until you said it. It's like, oh yeah, look at that.
Huh. It makes logical sense to run a criminal empire. Uh-huh. Sure does, buddy.
Sure. It also makes logical sense to make you two fight to the death.
Uh-huh. Okie doke. What does a yellow alert mean? But I mean, and they're still clearly vibing on Breaking Bad. Like,
yes,
you got the whole Tuco thing with him, right? Like, it wasn't just me.
Absolutely.
And I got that with the Ferengi too. We also both took note of the line. Oh God, what was it? I'm looking for Froop, son of Freem, or whatever.
This would have been my quote. I forgot to do it. Oh. But what is it? I'm looking for Kryn, an associate of Sneed.
Yep.
Incredible sentence.
Sneed, new fellow.
Most of the major events of your life have circled around him in some way, sir. Doesn't ring a bell.
Which just reminds me of our pre-show chat of, I don't remember how we got into Picard being Homer Simpson, but then it's like, well, Shaw's obviously Frank Grimes then. Well, I'm just going to go to the neutral zone.
I'm going to go back to my vineyard and drink my wine because mm-hmm. I'm Captain Picard.
Yep. Do. Yep.
Make it so.
Ah, very good. But anyway, Worf and Raffi, yeah, that whole thing is still fairly boring. I do still like their chemistry. Like, I'm enjoying Raffi more with Worf.
Yes, this is the best that any of this has been, you know, bringing Worf in was definitely the way to go.
And making Worf the wise old master is a very good direction for that character. Like, that's perfect. He's mm-hmm. he's gray. He's gone through some shit. He's he's chill now, but he's still good at fighting. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a perfect fit for him.
Yep.
And they're trying to find like you said, Sneed, son of Worf.
Kryn.
Right. Daughter of Kerful. Yeah.
Yep.
Hang on.
Break out the big list of weird words we've said to each other.
Uh-huh.
Of the House of Schmirk.
Yep. But as they're trying to draw these guys out, it looks like they're just sort of standing out in the open where they can get stabbed, but mm-hmm. they're holograms. And I was like, oh, that's weird. A hologram can just... And what they're using is a mobile emitter, which they invented on Voyager. That mm-hmm. I've said this since the early days of this show. I love when they take an in-universe technology and use it in a way I hadn't thought of. It's like, oh yeah. Mobile emitters have been around for 30 years now. Of course, they'd just be a thing you could have now.
Mm-hmm.
You could just have a hologram of someone right in front of you and doesn't have to be on a holodeck anymore. Like,
yeah, makes perfect sense. I love it.
It was cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like a, remember this from Voyager? They just had it. And it's like,
yeah, it's a mobile emitter. I mean, it says basically, like, if you don't know what it is, it's not hard to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, what they really should do is put an H on their forehead, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. That would be much better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Why is Raffi wearing that hat? Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. look, there's established precedent for this. You just you take the tie for your robe and you turn it into a headband.
Yep.
That's how it's work. That's how it works.
Also, yes. Raffi wants to fuck Worf so badly, and I think that's wonderful for her.
Like I say, I think she's just going to make her way through the various classic Trek characters, or you know, middle Trek, not classic Trek. But you know,
and you know what? Good for her.
Yeah, fine. Just fuck them all.
Yeah. Geordi, huh?
Crash is like, please don't.
Please, I'm begging you.
So there's a
sorry, kid. I'm going to get real invested in your life. Oh no. Mm-hmm. I just got off the phone with Elmo. Who?
You were so broken up about his death. I never heard that name in my life. What are you even talking about? There's the bit where, okay, first of all, Bever is doing an autopsy on the changeling, which, okay, fine, whatever. That poor chief medical officer, I think, had one line in this whole episode again.
Yeah, she sure did, and it should have been, why are you still here? Get out of my office.
But, no, it was actually, yes, doctor, or what do you mean, doctor, or some horrible, yeah.
Yes, but, doctor, better doctor, good doctor from a TV show, but not the TV show, The Good Doctor.
Mm-hmm. But first of all, she's doing this on the authority of Picard, who has no authority on this ship. That sat weird with me. Like, they did a whole bit where Riker turned command back over to Shaw, which he should do. Yeah. It's his ship. Mm-hmm. And then Bever says, I'd like permission to do an autopsy. And Picard says, yes, please do. Like, you're here as a guest. You're about to be arrested. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. You can't.
Yeah. What,
you can't,
what are your admiral powers here exactly?
Just go do what you want. It's all fine.
Yeah.
But she's doing it and she's dissecting this changeling, which still looks like Crash, and the real Crash is standing there and not handling it well.
No.
And that was kind of cute, where she's like, can you, Ensign LaForge, can you please confirm that this is not you?
Yep.
And then she throws up. And, she's basically answered it in the affirmative, which I liked. But it made me wonder, when Bever was cutting in and there was blood and Crash threw up off screen, what if that's not puke? What if that's changeling goo and that's the changeling? But then they went into
that too, honestly.
Ah, then they went into that the changelings could actually have blood and organs now. So never mind. But but that might have been a decent swerve.
Cool shot of the organs turning back into changeling as they're removed from the body.
Yeah, I'm still into the new changeling look.
Yeah, it's neat.
It doesn't look like shimmery early 90s CG. It looks like something now.
It's got a real tangible goopiness, which I really like.
Yep.
As a fan of tangible goopiness.
You gotta have tangible goopiness.
Oh, yeah, man. Have you seen the Blob remake from the 80s? Fucking great movie.
I haven't, but I'll take your word for it.
Tangible goopiness all the way through.
I've seen Nickelodeon Gak.
That's also a form of tangible goopiness.
Mm-hmm. You know who really likes tangible goopiness? Kryn, the associate of Sneed.
That dude loved tangible goopiness.
Mm-hmm.
And giant itics.
Mm-hmm. Well, he bought that from the trunk of Gene's car.
That was the only thing I could think of.
Which is a Star Trek, like, behind-the-scenes anecdote I will never forget. Those things were created so Gene could sell them out of the trunk of his car.
Like, when he was doing the college talks or whatever.
Yeah, before there were even organized conventions, he would just do individual appearances. Yeah.
This is what he did, like, in the 70s before, like, they started talking about relaunching.
Yeah, the fandom was slowly organizing, but there wasn't a huge groundswell yet. And the other shows he was trying to get off the ground didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. Like, no one wanted the Questor tapes. So, like,
weird.
Yeah, I never saw it. That was one of the shows I did want to cover on when we ran out of Star Trek to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just never got to it.
But. No, we watched the Zeta Project instead, which was the updated version of the Questor tapes, I imagine.
Kind of.
It was also about a robot trying to find his humanity.
I mean, no, it was, but it didn't have Majel Barrett in it. So,
no, that's true.
And I think that one did.
We'll find you your freedom someday, Questor.
Mm-hmm. Now, and apparently a lot of that Questor stuff made it into Data, like early next-gen Data, before the character got fleshed out. So
the Data tapes.
Mm-hmm.
These are my tapes.
Back to the Ro thing, something I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I like, this isn't the first time we've seen this, the fact that Picard's protégés come back kind of bitter and resentful.
Yeah.
it's that same way we talked about when we covered the original series movies, where all of Kirk's meddling on planets and then just riding away, biting him in the ass. Like, Picard's thing is not so much that as it is specific people. He's like, no, no, you need to earn my approval. And years later, they're like, I never did, and I hate my life.
Well, it will hurt you to know that you never earned my approval. Damn it.
Jesus Christ.
I really thought it would help if I told you to your face that I didn't need your approval. Never does.
Well, guess I'll go die the way I always thought I would, in a suicide bombing.
Go ahead. No, you're fine.
I was going to say, I do like that the big conspiracy plan is to target the Founders. What is it? Founders Day. They wouldn't call it Founders Day.
No, this is some real spit on that name.
I'm blanking on what it's called, but
Something Star Trek. Like it was like Frontier Day, but not.
Yeah, but they're celebrating the formation of Starfleet is basically what it is. And they're planning to have almost the entire fleet together for a parade. And I'm thinking, like, I can't remember specifically, but it feels like those sort of big, scary 70s paranoia conspiracy movies, like the Day of the Jackal, or like,
The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that there's a specific sort of probably Cold War era vibe of like a bunch of the military is going to be all together in one place. What if we blew it up?
It'd be really easy to explode it there.
And that's actually like, because I set that up earlier on, that this celebration is happening, and it's a good payoff to. I thought they were just milking the nostalgia thing, but it was actually a good like we're putting all the ships in one place, and someone's going to fuck with us there. Like it's not a bad plan. Yeah,
like Picard's like, I was going to make a speech.
Mm-hmm. Of course you were. And Ro just, she didn't roll her eyes, but she basically rolled her
eyes. It's like, well, what a shock.
Oh,
really? Yes. Are you?
Did they ask you to write a speech, or did you volunteer yourself?
And of course, I, Admiral Picard, will write a speech.
Oh, you don't say.
Use it to plug my new book that's coming out.
Oh, he's definitely one of those guys who wrote an extremely good, like, very, like, excellent read memoir. And it sold really well, and then decided to continue writing memoirs, even though he's out of stuff to write about.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like the real Patrick Stewart.
Did he do that?
He just released his autobiography, and I was flipping through it at work, and Star Trek doesn't come into it until the back half. And I'm like, oh, I see. You're saving this for a Star Trek-focused novel.
Maybe.
Like certain other captains.
Well, that was who I had in mind, actually. Yeah. Shatner did Star Trek Memories, and then he came out with like four more of those.
Star Trek Movie Memories, Star Trek Animated Series Memories.
Yeah.
I'm not Spock Memories.
Yeah, probably. My friend Leonard.
He definitely wrote a book about his friend Leonard. I don't remember what it was called. Probably Spock Memories.
Yeah, probably.
My best friend Spock.
Mm-hmm. So my bad thing.
Shit My Dad Says Memories.
My bad thing is William Shatner, because, one of the worst things to come out of Star Trek. Our friends, specifically Flonk, but not just Flonk, have been warning us about Jack Crusher and his special destiny. And we have been, I think I'm safe in speaking for you here, but please correct me if I'm wrong. We have been surprisingly, like, delighted and charmed by this character so far.
Yeah.
He's interesting. The performer's great. He's got a lot of charisma. He holds his own against some really good actors. Like, he's fantastic. And now we've turned a corner.
Yeah.
Now he's got a special destiny, and he's got the power to see evil red trees and kill people. And it's real stupid. And he sees a red door, and he wants to paint it black.
Uh-huh. It's just, it's so, so familiar. Like, we've seen this a million times. Yeah.
Like,
always
it makes
on new Star Trek.
Well, it makes me think of the girl in Firefly.
Yes. What's her face?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I used to know all of this, but I've been slowly deleting everything I remember about Joss Whedon-related properties.
That's fair. I don't remember
it. Down to just the stuff I like about Buffy and Angel.
Fair enough. I still think Firefly's fine. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched it in, you know, it literally was canceled 20 years ago now. So like
Firefly is another one where I loved it, but like the fandom has made it so irritating.
Oh, we've made that very clear. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I would have my Captain Kirk puppet when we were at conventions say that show's still canceled in the future, which they did not appreciate.
I have said this before, but the fact that like everything everyone has ever heard of has been relaunched and Firefly still never came back.
Yep.
And now it never will because of the hated Joss Whedon.
Oh, that doesn't mean anything, and you know it.
Mm.
Louis C.K.'s still booking comedy clubs.
Oh, God, that's true. Thanks for that reminder.
Well, I got a lot more examples, but that'll do. That'll do.
Uh-huh.
But white dudes are not very accountable for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, cancel
culture. I'm going to do a giant comedy tour about how no one will listen to me because I was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Louis.
Am I sold out? Wow, huh?
Mm-hmm. Weird. Wonder how that happened.
Yeah. Anyway, Jack Crusher and his special destiny. Just he's got some, I don't know, rage powers or some shit. And he's just
walking around the ship thinking about ways he could beat people up.
Yeah, there's a bunch of early in the episode. There's a bunch of fake outs where you think he's actually murdering people and it's just a creepy vision he had. And that part was very Voyager. It's very like, oh, did I blow your mind making you think that someone murdered the whole bridge crew? It didn't really happen. It's okay.
Nope. Okay. Oh, and the bits, it's hard to explain this, but like the camera does like a weird sort of reverse thing that I have definitely seen in a million other movies.
Okay.
That looks so bad.
I didn't catch this, but
I hated it. I don't know who directed this episode, but my first thought was, well, this can't be Frakes. He wouldn't do that.
I feel like if they've decided on what Jack's freakouts look like, though, like every director's got to do it the same.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like that feels like something that has a visual style tied to it.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen that before. I've seen the stupid red trees before.
Mm, yeah, it's real, real dumb.
Mm-hmm, it sure is.
And one tiny thing they did that I didn't hate was at the end, Bever's like, what happened? How did you know they were changelings? And he's like, I didn't. And I didn't care about that. But what I liked was he's not keeping it a secret from her, which I was certain where this was going to go. So that's something, I guess.
I mean, he did stalk around the ship for a while having weird thoughts instead of being like, Mom, I'm seeing a lot of red trees and I think that might be a problem. You're a doctor. Could we do something about this?
And the chief medical officer of the Titans, like, I could help. No, I didn't ask you.
No,
Mommy.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's your name again, chief medical officer? Is it Dr. Beverly Crusher? No, then go sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
Go paint yourself some more Dax dots.
Is that how they do it?
Mm-hmm.
They just paint them on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It's a good look.
It's a great look, but I thought it came naturally. I didn't realize they were, like, painted on.
Nope,
they're not even tattoos, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I liked when they were talking about the Daystrom Institute and how fortified it is. I assume we're going to do, like, a heist episode there at some
point. Yeah, absolutely.
Or a Daystrom Station, I guess it was. Just the look of the thing.
Yep.
Like, we got a quick shot of it, and it was like, it was very influenced by the early space stations in like original series, but also more like the movie era ones a bit. And it was huge. And just, I loved the look of the thing. It was very cool.
I really think it's funny that they're like, don't you know, the Daystrom Institute has an impenetrable AI. And I'm like, really? The Daystrom Institute wants to fuck around with AI again. This is how they got in trouble in the first place.
Oh yeah. That was way back in the M5 episode.
Yeah.
Actually. The Daystrom himself.
Yep.
A
little box and he's like, I am great, you are great.
I just had the note, it's guarded by AI. Nobody can outsmart AI. Hey, count my fingers.
Yeah. Captain, there's a weird shiny man out here with bizarre hands who'd like to come in.
I put it to you.
Oh no.
How do you spell any word?
Have we talked about this? I have a visceral reaction to AI generated images now.
Really?
Yeah, it like there's something about it. They're too shiny. I think they're gross.
I wonder if this has anything to do with your like face blindness. Like,
I wonder if you just
process that stuff. Like, I have a hard time telling that they're fake until someone says, you know, count the fingers or whatever. Like
there is something about it that sets me off. We got a bunch of this new book in at work, mm-hmm. and it had the cover was like a picture of some girl surrounded like by bubbles, like hundreds mm-hmm. and hundreds and hundreds of little bubbles. And okay. I was looking at it, and I'm like, why does this set me off so much? And it took a second. I'm like, oh, this was AI. Like they added like a photo, like it wasn't just they didn't just bang out a photo. Like yeah. and stick it on the book, but this started as an AI generated thing, and it's really hinking me out somehow.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
No, I've mentioned that I'm doing narration for audiobooks now, and mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that is up for audition is how to make AI pay off for you. And like, well, I'm not yep. like there's not a lot that I won't do because it's early days and I need to get paid.
Yeah,
but I don't want any involvement with that.
Yeah, it's just, it's real gross and exploitative.
Yep.
Exploitative.
Yep. Exploitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Don't do it.
Yep. But also, you know, like science fiction's been telling us about AI for years. So, you know, it's just, it's mm-hmm. the way it's actually playing out is so dumb. Like,
I mean, that's the case with everything that was promised yeah. to us.
No, we got the thing they promised. It's just mm-hmm. not evil. It's just bad. I mean, it is yeah, evil, but not in the fun
way. It's evil,
way.
But also it's stupid.
It takes up a lot of power and it looks real bad.
Yeah.
Like, and also
AI
it's
not
just...
going to take over the world. Well, it might in a way, but it will make stupid images stolen from
a
lot of people's hard-earned internet art.
Yes, and illegally stolen. And they're like, mm-hmm. well, yeah, you got to illegally steal. Oh, God. Okay, we're not here to talk about that.
No, but we are mad about it.
Of course we are. And all the other injustices, which mm-hmm. We don't have time for that.
We're so tired.
To bring things back to Ro, I just keep having more things to say about Ro.
Yeah, because she was great.
I am surprised they didn't mention that Riker should have a bit of a soft spot for her because they hooked up.
Well, it felt like he did a little bit, like not in a way he wanted to talk mm-hmm. about, but like,
well, they
he's
clearly
definitely, like. He's definitely saying to Picard, like, why are you still mad about this? It's been 30 years.
I found it weird that Picard was not aware that she was back in Starfleet. Like, he might not know exactly where she is.
Yep.
But I feel like, I don't know, if they reinstated her, they probably would have, like, a hearing or something, and they would reach out to him and say, hey, you're the commanding officer she abandoned. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Don't you want to speak, like, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, and he might have been in a time hole or stuck on a cave planet or who the fuck knows at that time. But
no, if there's one thing we've learned from this show, it's that Picard is very often stuck in a time hole or something when people need him.
Look, you watched all of Next Gen with me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know this.
I love the idea he's talking to some people at a bar or whatever, and the person who wants to ask him about Ro shows up and he's like... Sir, what do you think about Ensign Ro? Ensign Ro is the worst. I have never needed Ensign Ro in my entire life. Well, it answers my question. Goodbye.
She's standing right behind me, isn't she?
No, I'm standing in front of you.
Ah!
Best Futurama joke. Well, one of them.
Ah, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's a great one.
Mm. What else?
What else? Let's see. I'm looking for Kryn and associate of Sneed.
You sure are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also the Jack Crusher thing, the whispered lady going, find me, is very irritating.
Yeah, well.
I hate that.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much, like, look, I know... First of all, I don't dislike horror. I want to say that. I'm just not the fan that you are. And I've seen a lot of hacky stuff. And you know there's a lot of hacky stuff out there.
Oh, absolutely.
But Star Trek keeps trying to integrate so many aspects of horror into itself. And it succeeds maybe one time out of 100.
Yeah, it's almost always bad.
And all of the music and the lighting and the camera stuff and the like everything relating to Jack's whole deal mm-hmm. is cribbed from horror movies from easily 20 years ago
mm-hmm.
to the point where it just feels like tired cliches in a genre that they're not even doing. And it's like, can you just tell a sci-fi story? You don't have
Please?
To always make it horror
because
mm-hmm. you're bad at it.
It's also, why is modern Trek so obsessed with red stuff?
Somebody mentioned that it's J.J. Abrams' fault because he's got this thing with, like, there was something in his show Alias. There was red matter in the Star Trek movie. Like, he's got a red, like, red ball or red something. And I could be wrong about this, but I think people are still vibing on that.
That's weird. Abrams isn't even connected with Trek anymore, is he?
No. It's people, like, the same way we're noticing them sort of copying the vibe of Breaking Bad in some parts. Mm. I think he influenced a lot of TV, like Lost, too. Like, he produced that, but still, like, his influence, and I might be way off base. This is something someone mentioned to me that this was their theory, and I can't remember. It might have been Vishal, but I might be wrong about that. Somebody, but this is not my theory. But there's a lot of, you can clearly see Trek saying, how do we get things up to speed? How do we make it not the 90s anymore? Let's copy this TV show and this TV show and this TV show. And, like, guys, why don't you make your own thing?
No, never.
Mm-hmm. But you're right, like the fucking Red Angel, too.
The Red Angel, the Red Lady earlier in this same season.
Well, that, I'm sure that ties back to Jack's thing eventually.
Yeah. The Red Door. Mm-hmm. Settle down.
Wants to paint it black.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
Sorry, I keep trying to make that reference organic, and I just cannot make it work.
I mean, like, I could see it just sitting there, too, though. Like,
mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Very well. Well, I hope this isn't an indication of things to come, because I was enjoying it. And the thing is, if the rest of the season falls apart, first of all, I know we still get to see Geordi. Second of all, there's only 4 episodes left. Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, 5 episodes. No.
5 episodes.
5 episodes left. Yes. 5, sir. Right. But either way, we still got
5 hard-boiled eggs.
Mm-hmm. But there's still, from the 5 we've seen so far, more overall good in this season than there was in the entirety of 10 episodes of the previous season. So, like,
absolutely.
Like, this show could still pull out a C-, even if the rest of it stinks.
And I mean, honestly, last episode was so fucking good. Like, you know, I'm going to be thinking about that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got that out of it.
Yeah.
Season 2 had none good episodes.
Correct.
It was shit and then additional shit. And then,
there were one or two tiny moments.
Yes.
But that's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And batteries.
Guys, this is real fucked up.
Never forget batteries.
Nope. Om nom nom.
We never will.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next week, we're doing an episode entitled The Bounty, which that does not suggest any particular thing.
I suspect there will be a mutiny on it.
But no, that's the name of a ship. So possibly not. That's what they painted on the bird of prey that they stole in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
But I doubt it's that. It's probably about a bounty hunter in, like, the edgy parts of Star Trek, which they're always real, real great.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe Bob will be joining us for that. So,
oh, excellent.
Continuing to bring back in all the old favorites. Flonk will be back a little bit later, and Devlin after that. So, like, we got all the old friends returning.
Yep.
So that'll be
all your favorites.
Exactly. And also us.
That also us. You're stuck with us.
You sure are. Never forget, we're watching Star Trek forever.
Yep, we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Just what I wanted. Another mouth. all right. The website is ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, we've only got a few more episodes this season, so we'll be answering your mail after that. It is postatomichorror@gmail.com. Had to stop and remember, oh, right, it's the other show where I had to put podcast at the end of it. But no, this is just postatomichorror@gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Our Patreon is dropping regular episode reviews of Lower Decks. In fact, it is the middle of the month as we record this, so a new one's going up right now.
Yep.
And also new shorts from Endeavor. So check that out, patreon.com/Algar. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See a Kryn and an associate of Sneed?
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.